Amen. Good morning, Hope College. Happy Monday, happy opening day, happy first day in April, first Monday in April. This morning, I want to introduce to you a dear friend of mine, one of our campus ministry interns for this year, Marcy Rudens.
Thank you.
And Marcy may be our campus ministry intern this year, but she has taught me more about ministering at Hope College than I think she even realizes. So give Marcy a big warm welcome for me, would you?
Good morning, Hope College. It is an honor to be in your presence this morning. I remember being a freshman. I usually sat in this area right over here, and I just remember watching and hearing chaplains and different speakers come here and envisioning myself speaking here one day. And so it is just an honor to see that vision come to fruition this morning. And so with that, I welcome you to hear this word from the Lord from James 5, 7 through 11. James writes, "Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors as an example of suffering and patience. Beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who showed endurance. You have seen, or you have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So a couple of weeks ago, just like many of you, I went on a spring break immersion trip with this fine crew right here. We went to Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm sure like many of you, whether you went on an immersion trip or you stayed here or you went home, it was a time of reflection and a time of rest. And so this morning, I want to share with you something that happened on the Nashville immersion trip. So picture this with me. There's 14 of us in this cement block room, and the Christmas lights are twinkling, the energy is up, everyone's super excited, and everyone's pretty freshly showered, and it is the first night on the immersion trip. And so a pretty standard first night ritual, we go around, we do a check-in. How's everyone doing? And everyone was in agreement, doing well, doing great, doing fine. Energy was up. We're in Nashville. We're excited. And then at one point, I asked the group, is there anything that anyone is nervous about or anxious about? And it got quiet, and everyone looked down, and no one wanted to go first. And then one person shared, and then another, and then another. And it was almost as if it was like a light switch in. It was like a ticking time bomb in their spiritual clocks. Questions like, who am I and why is this happening to me right now? And followed with I'm struggling with X, Y, Z. We know these questions and these hurts because we have all asked them at one point. You didn't need to go on the Nashville immersion trip to know what this looks or with what this feels like. And so then I stepped back and I was wondering to myself, how long have these questions been there? How long have they been wrestling? How long have we been hiding? We are a people that love to hide amidst our pain and suffering. We see this in Genesis 3 as Adam and Eve hide from the presence of the Lord as they take the fruit. And I think at Hope College, we hide as well. A Hope College modern-day translation of Genesis 3 would look like, Adam and Eve realized that something had gone wrong, and so they pushed it down as far as they possibly could, and they continued on with their daily routine. And so then God began to look for them in Phelps, in the Pine Grove, in Dimnant, asking, where are you? And Adam and Eve looked up and said, I'm fine. How are you? We like to joke about the hope hello, but to what extent is that perpetuating our hiding? I know for myself, when I was a hope student, I was constantly comparing myself and felt as if no one was hurting like me. And yet, when I was given the opportunity to share about something that was painful, I couldn't let anyone know that I was human. And it just got to be exhausting. Does anyone else feel that? So then we come to the text for today, and it seems like a harsh word for us. Be patient, therefore, beloved. Blessed those who showed endurance. It kind of sounds like James couldn't possibly know what we are all going through. And so my curiosity, you know, I was starting to look at the text and looked in the Greek, and I tried to figure out what is James really trying to say to us. And so the Greek word for patience that James uses is makrothumio. It means to suffer long, long suffering. Yeah, I think I'm okay with James using patience. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Could James possibly be asking us to continue on in this pain for a longer time than we are already experiencing? I think there's an important distinction that needs to be made when we come to this passage, that there is a big difference between hiding from our pain and suffering long or sitting in the pain. Hiding is a form of long suffering that we are not meant to do. I was talking with one of my classmates. I go to Western Seminary right across the lawn, and I asked him, I was talking to him about hiding, you know, a classic seminary conversation. What do you think about hiding? And so he shared with me a story about him and his son playing hide and seek. And so his son is 3 years old and a very predictable child. He hides in the same spot every time. And so my classmate was sharing with me the story about him and his son were playing hide and seek, and my classmate, like the smart person that he is, went to the spot that his son always hides to. And my classmate finds him and says, "I've found you." And his son keeps his eyes closed. He kept hidden. And then, you know, but my classmate is standing there the whole time. And then several moments pass, and then the son uncovers his eyes and looks up and says, "I've found you." We can laugh at this, right? And in that moment, the two embraced because his son finally saw him, even though my classmate had been there the whole time. I think in so many ways we are like this three-year-old. We hide usually in the same area of pain or shame, and even when we have been found, we continue to keep our eyes fixated on being hidden. We like to call our hiddenness long suffering. And so our invitation this morning is to sit with God and to recognize who God is. And to sit with God, who is an example of patience and suffering, as we hear in the James text. We no longer need to sit in our hiddenness alone, but in our suffering with the one who is an example of suffering and a conqueror of suffering. When we name our suffering, expose our pain, sit in the longing, we are welcome into our truest identity, and that is being a child of God. And God promises us many things, and one of those things is his presence. We don't have to hide anymore. We don't have to have this perfect facade up anymore. We don't have to be in this isolation business that we continually put ourselves in every single day. No, we are invited to sit with the one who meets us in the most profound suffering with Jesus dying on the cross. We are invited to be with the one who calls us and holds us and says, beloved. We are invited to be with the one who is compassionate and merciful, who knows firsthand how painful this world can be. And so God is with you, like the farmer is with his crop during the early and the late rains. God is with you amidst the grumbling. God is with you, like my classmate is with his son who's hiding. God is with you in the midst of tears. God is with you in room draw. Yes, God is with you in room draw. And God is with you in class registration. God is with you in graduation. Amen. And God is with you even when you think that there is no way that God would want anything to do with you. And God is with you when you put words to your pain and suffering. And God is with you when you have yet to get to that place. God is with you in your macrothumio. My encouragement to you this morning isn't that there won't be any more suffering, and I'm truly sorry about that for you and for myself as well. But my encouragement is that let's be a people, a college, that open up our eyes to see the one who has found us and calls us back to his embrace. And in this embrace, we aren't hidden anymore, but we are known not by our suffering, but known because we go to the one who is a conqueror of sin and death. We are the beloved, and he is drawing us back into his embrace. And God is with you, beloved. It's in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.